Hi everyone, SaneMade here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Jamrick, and here's what he has to say. Hey Sandman, for my video request, I'd like to hear your take on the reproductive overachiever who's recently been the subject of a documentary Netflix film called Our Father. His name is Dr. Donald Klein, a fertility doctor who slipped in his own sample hundreds of times and fathered many, many children to be raised by unwitting cucks. I haven't seen the documentary since I assume it is sympathetic to the cucks and their women who they couldn't impregnate without the aid of modern technology. In my opinion, any man who trusts his woman in the hands of the doctors and contributes to a child's birth without doing it the old-fashioned way, then going a step further by not even doing a paternity test, is an idiot and doesn't deserve my sympathy. I'm pretty sure that the mothers can't be too happy and that the kids of this ultra chad probably resent not having their real father in their lives. All that said, this man still won at the amoral game of reproduction, laughing in the face of other upstanding men who toil and strive to raise their handful of progeny. There's nothing the authorities can do, including putting him in prison until he dies. They can't reverse the hundreds upon possibly more hundreds of successful progeny to his name. I personally hope processes are in place to stop people like this today, but I also respect the amoral alpha attitude. I know that if I were in his position and could get away with it, I'd probably do the same things he did. Well, Jamrick, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I just sailed the high seas and found my very own copy of that documentary. The story's about Donald Klein and the 94 confirmed offspring that he has with regards to his fertility clinic, where he put his own junk into test tubes and made babies. He told the mothers-to-be that he was going to use medical student sperm and not use it more than 3 times each before switching donors. Instead of that, he switched the sperm samples with his own, and I guess tried to become the Genghis Khan of Minneapolis. As I began watching the documentary, I could only imagine what was going through his mind as he was doing all of this, probably thinking to himself, there goes another one, and another one. After he did it a few times and didn't get caught, he probably couldn't help himself, and humans are addicted and hard-coded for reproduction, especially up to the age of 40 or 50. He was doing this back in the 1980s, and we hadn't even mapped the genome yet, and he thought that there would never be a time when something like 23andMe would be created. And plus, there isn't even a law that he violated. But since he did this, Indiana has implemented a fertility fraud law. It's the first state to do so, and it's a law more than a $500 fine and 1 year suspension he received for his first offense. Women steal sperm all the time, and it becomes their property when they suck it out of condoms that are thrown in the trash, and then use turkey basters to bathe their insides with it. A man is on the hook, and there's no law to punish her. That's probably why there's no law for men doing this sort of thing either, because no one had heard of it before, also because test tube babies were still relatively new back in the 1980s, and the number of clinics doing the procedure were extremely limited. Anyways, I'll review the documentary and report back in a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Me the Sane Man. If you want to get your hands on this Thought Tears mug, then visit my Teespring store down in the description. You can also get your hands on the Cure for Feminism t-shirt and classic tank top. If someone doesn't like it, then you can ask them if they're being Islamophobic. I also have a Sane Man t-shirt, and 25% of the sales proceeds go to the artist, as well as the classic Sane Man sticker and mug. You can also get the entire Sane Man collection through digital download or USB key if you want through email. Those are the sound files for the first 5 seasons of my channel, so you can have those to take on the go. Each season is $15. Finally, you can also talk to me via one-on-one coaching through Skype for only $45 an hour. My contact email and Teespring shop are the first links down in the description. Anyways, now back to Genghis Khan living in Middle America Clown World Show. The film Our Father is from early 2022, and I can't believe I didn't run into this one in the manosphere. And then no one suggested I cover it before you suggested it, Jamrick. The film starts with a whole bunch of older women sharing their stories and enjoying more attention from the camera than they've received in many years. The story starts when one woman, her daughter, Jacoba Ballard, decided to do a 23andMe search in 2014 to see if she had any other siblings and to potentially find out who her real father was. She said the 23andMe commercials were everywhere on television back then. She found that she was related to 7 half-siblings, but her father was unknown. She had both excitement and concern because there were now 8 of them, and the doctor told her mother that it was most likely going to be only 3. Back in the 1980s, if you wanted to have a baby at a sperm bank, if you're a woman, there were books instead of being online today. You'd look through the books and you'd pick a face that you liked, and that was that. Today you can use cryonically frozen sperm, but back then it needed to be fresh from the man's nether flesh. Jacoba and her 7 known siblings at the time joked that wouldn't it be crazy if their father was actually the doctor. Looking through their family tree online, they identified a woman named Sylvia using 23andMe, and got a match for her unknown father's second cousin along with everybody else. They gave that cousin a list of people that could potentially be their real father, and one was Swinford, Donald Klein's mother's maiden name. The cousin said her cousin Don is a doctor. That's when they knew that Donald Klein was their father, but he wouldn't talk to them. They took their story to the Attorney General of the state, and then the Attorney General of the entire United States, as well as the national news, but there was no response. No one cared. Then they went to local media in February of 2015, and a female reporter with her own group preference decided to help Jacoba, but they couldn't use Klein's real name in the story, because there was no DNA evidence proving it. Janrick, I agree with you that men need to basically get a paternity test after having a kid. But in this case, it was actually willing cucks and single mothers. At the start of the documentary, they mentioned that many of the men couldn't actually have kids of their own. If I was ever a father, yes, I'd get a paternity test when I was taking care of my child as a baby, and the mother was away at work. Then I'd get one of those 23andMe tests, and I believe you only need consent from one parent to get it done. Then again, Google, the company that owns it, is dangerous, and do you actually want to share your kid's DNA with them, which then they might be able to use stem cells with our DNA to clone us. As the story continues, Dr. Klein's old medical partner said that he was a great medical practitioner, and that if it wasn't for him, he wouldn't be the doctor that he is today. His employees also had very nice things to say about him. But what he did was basically an experiment and a sick and twisted game. People have called him the Nazi doctor because so many of his kids were blonde-haired and blue-eyed. And that, of course, was probably going to make Mr. Mustache proud. Also, many of the women that needed to use a sperm bank had to because their husband couldn't have kids with them. So as the siblings continue to investigate, at this point in the story, we learn that there are now 14 of them. Up to this point, I thought that the sperm being used was all from sperm donors. But apparently Klein switched her father's sperm with his. So Jamrick, you're right, he did cut guys out there. He took everything away from them and threw men's sperm away like it was nothing. Eventually Doug, Klein's son, set up a meeting between all of the siblings and Klein. When they met him, it was like an interrogation, with him asking their name, age, and profession, ranking them to see which ones would actually basically be at the top. He brought up the Bible scriptures, and he actually ended up pissing off Jacoba. He lied again and said that there were no more than 15 siblings, but the numbers kept going up to 17 and then 22 and then eventually more. Sibling number 22 said that her husband gave her a DNA test and said, "I think we're related," but the documentary never mentioned how. Number 22, her father, was also another unknowing cuck. Also, at this point, Jacoba and others started having siblings and meeting them that they already knew in real life. They also kept thinking to themselves, "Please don't let the next sibling I find be someone I know. Please don't let it be someone that I used to date." Most of them never left the Indianapolis area, so there were potentially hundreds of them there. The first man in the story agreed to get cucked back in 1978, probably to help silence his nagging wife. She wanted children, and he couldn't have them with her. Also, the kid was supposed to have dark eyes and dark hair, as to not basically make the child think that they were adopted. Not blonde hair and blue eyes. Jacob also seems to be the one that reaches out to new siblings that pop up on 23andMe as well. She might be using it as a source of attention. Imagine you're a woman that has 100 siblings. That's a never-ending stream of attention. I'd imagine you're running the family reunions, which probably need a convention center. Having one of those a year would be like getting the equivalent amount of attention as having a wedding, or maybe more. Not to mention the attention that Netflix gave her. Yes, she should share her story. But if you watch the documentary, you're going to notice that her interviews are key to this whole thing. She says she's obsessed with the story about her father. Her and her siblings wondered why Klein would have done this, and no one really knows. But they say they have a conspiracy theory with regards to the Quiverful movement. That movement says that white children are like arrows, they will infiltrate the government one at a time and change that government. The Quiverful movement has the idea to produce more and more white race babies. Most of the babies he made were blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Jacoba says that they are the perfect Aryan clan, and that it's just disgusting. This is a conspiracy theory, of course, trying to paint him as a racist as being one of his motives. But actually, he won't tell anyone why he did it. But I'll tell you why. Because he believes that DNA is destiny, and that in some ways he actually wants to live forever by fathering as many children as possible. But 3 to 4 generations out, you're still going to get forgotten. The Quiverful movement wants to convert the civil law of the United States into biblical law. They even threw a Jewish woman into this documentary saying that she was upset with Dr. Klein's views. Jacobus says that the Quiverful is actually a cult where women are basically used as breeders, that they're basically taking women's rights away. So this way they paint him as a misogynist, anti-Semitic, racist, and I wonder what oppressor boxes they can check off with zero proof. That's not to say that what he did wasn't immoral, and that he isn't an a-hole, but to paint social justice-y narratives on him like that, even though you don't have the answers, is just stuffing words in his mouth the way that he stuffed turkey basters up women's schwing-schwings from his chubby custard launcher. They say he's a very religious man and became that way after running over a 4-year-old girl back in the 1960s. So after that, he became unhinged, supposedly. How about someone over at Netflix making a documentary with kids telling their story about their mother sperm-jacking their fathers and then ruining their lives? Jacob also talks to the new siblings that they find on 23andMe and says that she's there because it's the worst day of their lives. I keep thinking her and her biological father are very much alike. Jacob was also pushing assault, battery, and rape charges against her father. I think the reason the law had a hard time going after him in the first place was because of that double standard. If you make the way men use sperm is illegal, then you also have to make it illegal how women use it. Then sperm jacking would also become illegal if force and non-consent were actually separated. I enjoyed watching the frustration of women in the last 30 minutes, frustrated with the law and with this guy getting off. After he got off. And their mothers, of course. That's probably similar to what men experience when they get sperm jacked, but where's the Netflix documentary for that? I'm sure the Klein is secretly proud of how stubborn and strong-willed Jacob was, going after him to punish him, and basically wants him punished. We also learn that shaming language works on him because Jacob made a recording where he actually talks about how he doesn't like people finding out about it. Today, Klein is free after paying the $500, but many of the men that have been sperm-jacked aren't so lucky. Some are in prison because they can't afford child support payments. Indiana makes it illegal for fertility doctors to use their own sperm without a patient's consent. I'm still waiting for the law that makes it illegal for women to use a man's sperm without his consent, by intentionally not using the pill or dumpster diving for his old rubbers. Klein knew what he did wasn't illegal, but so do women that sperm jack men. If you watch the documentary, pay attention to all the things I mentioned, and let me know about Jacoba and your impression about her. She definitely seems like she's doing a lot of this for attention. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Jamrick for the donation and excellent topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Dr. Klein knocked up hundreds of women without smashing hundreds of women. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the same man for $45. And I will rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps women that hijack an unfortunate event as a way to get attention for themselves away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.